President Trump is lashing out at the second woman to come forward with sexual misconduct allegations against U.S. Supreme Court nominee Brett Kavanaugh.
Well, I look at the second accuser. The second accuser has nothing. The second accuser doesn't even know. She thinks maybe it could have been him, maybe not. She admits that she was drunk. She admits time lapses. There were time lapses.
And earlier today, White House Press Secretary Sarah Huckabee Sanders told ABC's George Stephanopoulos that the president would support allowing the so-called second accuser, who's Deborah Mamirez, to testify at Thursday's hearing before the Senate Judiciary Committee.
Certainly we would be open to that, and that process could take place on Thursday. Again, the president's been clear. Let them speak, but let's also let Brett Kavanaugh speak, and let's let him tell his side of the story before we allow allegations to determine his entire future.
Joining us now is a member of that committee that will wade into this on Thursday, Connecticut Senator Richard Blumenthal. Welcome to Radio Boston.
Wonderful to be with you. Thanks for having me.
So this hearing on Thursday is essentially to review testimony from U.S. Supreme Court nominee Brett Kavanaugh and his original accuser, Christine Blasey Ford. Will the Judiciary Committee at this point also hear from the second accuser, Deborah Ramirez, or will that be something considered before Thursday? What are your thoughts?
It should hear from the second sexual assault survivor, Deborah Ramirez, about her very disturbing and serious allegations, but it should be only after there is a fair, full investigation by the FBI, which is an independent, impartial agency with trained professionals who do sexual assault investigations. And that should be done as well before hearing from the first sexual assault survivor, Dr. Blasey Ford. But unfortunately, the White House has blocked the FBI from reopening its investigation and doing the fact-finding that is really necessary here. And I might just say parenthetically, because you played Donald Trump's comments just a moment ago, that is exactly, but I mean precisely, the reason why sexual assault is one of the most underreported crimes. They face, as survivors, this kind of belittling and demeaning and, frankly, humiliating and intimidating kind of reaction from people who are so dismissive about their allegation. They endure the kind of self-blame and guilt, unjustified, of course, but it is aggravated by this insulting and really demeaning kind of response. And that goes for the statement by the majority leader of the United States Senate, who yesterday on the floor said that these allegations are a part of a smear campaign. You know, if they are calling these serious allegations part of a smear campaign, it implies very insultingly that somehow these two women are puppets, that they are under the thumb of a Democratic cabal.
I'm sorry to interrupt, but so there's this feeling, at least on your part, that this is so political that you need an independent investigator. Is there any talk of an effort to put off Thursday's hearing until you can get that independent investigation?
Exactly. We've written to Chairman Grassley, all of us Democratic members, saying that we should postpone the hearing on Thursday. In fact, when we first heard about the second allegation, series of allegations from Deborah Ramirez, the ranking member, with our strong support, wrote and asked for a postponement of all proceedings. And certainly, before there is any vote, the Senate in good conscience has to have an independent investigation by the FBI and give all of the sexual assault survivors a fair opportunity to be heard.
You know, you're saying sexual assault survivors. Have you made up your mind?
I oppose this nomination literally within a day or so of its announcement, based not on the allegations of these survivors, but because this nomination, if confirmed, would mean a likely fifth vote in favor of overturning Roe v. Wade and rolling back the progress we've made on women's reproductive rights, on rights of people to marry the person they love, on consumer rights and workers' rights, and, of course, the issue of how powerful the president should be. The idea of an imperial presidency, a chief executive who can decide that he will not enforce a law simply because he deems it unconstitutional after the courts have upheld it is an anathema for me. So I've made up my mind on the merits, and especially after the evasive and misleading, seemingly misleading testimony from Judge Kavanaugh at the hearing.
Well, there are some who would say, though, that because folks made up their mind about Brett Kavanaugh so early on, that this really is all political and an effort to oust him at all costs.
You know, you said very revealingly in one of your questions that the reason for the FBI investigation is because it has become so political. And I would respectfully disagree. The reason for an investigation is to uncover the facts in fairness to Judge Kavanaugh, as well as to these survivors and, frankly, the American people. They deserve to know the facts. Why has the White House blocked the FBI from doing what these survivors want, a fair, full investigation by the FBI, what we have demanded be done? And why have they blocked also millions of pages of documents that bear on Judge Kavanaugh's credibility? So the question I think that the American people have to ask is, what are they hiding? What are they afraid of the Senate and the American people seeing? And it's more than just politics, and it's bigger than Judge Kavanaugh. It's about these survivors and about getting at the truth.
Yeah, just for clarity, though, I think it's not so much that I'm saying that this is all politics, but I do think that both sides can raise questions about the other's political motivation. And so having a neutral party investigate might be a way to sort of quell some of the criticism.
And I agree. You're right, but it's not the only reason.
Right. Well, let's move on a little bit. The New York Times published a report about Brett Kavanaugh's yearbook, and there are a number of references to a culture of heavy drinking. There are also references to a female classmate that appear to be sexually derogatory in nature. What about this latest story? Is this something that you think should be brought forward during Thursday's hearing?
Inevitably, it is part of the story. The really very apparently demeaning references to this then young woman, now in her 50s, I think demonstrates an attitude, a state of mind. And frankly, it will go to the credibility, which is an overriding theme or issue here. The lack of credibility on various distinct issues, Judge Kavanaugh's involvement while in the Bush White House in possible stolen documents, in detention and torture policies, in judgeship nominations, Judge Pickering and Pryor, which he's denied, are directly contradicted by some of the documents that we do have, and perhaps by some of the documents that have been denied us and denied to the American people because they remain concealed. That's before any of these very serious and credible allegations as to sexual assault. But all of the circumstances surrounding the allegations, what's demonstrated by that entry in the yearbook and by other statements that he has made and by what his former roommate has said about his drinking, they're all very relevant here to credibility.
Is there anyone besides Ford and Kavanaugh who might testify? For example, Mark Judge, whom Ford alleges was in the room during this encounter with Kavanaugh. Judge has said he has no recollection of that happening. Could he be subpoenaed, or do you have any other names of folks who might appear before the committee?
We have a series of people who we think should be required to testify. Mark Judge should be subpoenaed. We've asked the chairman to do so. He so far has refused. And there are other witnesses as well who should be before the committee, whether it's on Thursday or more likely at a subsequent hearing. But with apologies for repeating myself, what's necessary before this hearing, although it will take place on Thursday, but any other hearings, is really an FBI investigation. I'm a former prosecutor. I was U.S. attorney in Connecticut, the chief federal prosecutor for 4.5 years in Connecticut, and I was the state attorney general for 20 years. A prosecutor knows that step number one is an investigation. No prosecutor worth her or his salt would put a crime victim or anyone else on the witness stand without an investigation. And this hearing on Thursday will be as much a show as it is a real hearing.
Brett Kavanaugh sat down for an interview with Fox News last night. First time a Supreme Court nominee has given a public interview while this confirmation process is ongoing. And we have a little bit of tape in which he denies the allegations being made against him. Let's listen.
I've never sexually assaulted anyone. I did not have sexual intercourse or anything close to sexual intercourse in high school or for many years thereafter. And the girls from the schools I went to and I were
so
friends.
So you're saying that all through all these years that are in question, you were a virgin?
That's correct.
I'm wondering, Senator Blumenthal, what do you make of Kavanaugh's response in that interview on Fox News?
Well, just as a matter of fact, no one has alleged that he actually raped someone. The sexual assaults that are alleged are serious and profoundly disturbing, but they do not involve actual rape, at least so far as we know to date. But they would nonetheless, if they occurred, potentially be criminal, and he has denied them. He'll be given an opportunity again this Thursday to presumably deny them, but the denial has to be weighed in terms of other issues involving his credibility.
Politico is reporting that Chuck Grassley has told them that Republicans have hired a female attorney to question Christine Blasey Ford on Thursday, although Chuck Grassley has not released the name of this female attorney. Are you aware of that? What do you make of that?
I am aware that the Republican senators are ceding or delegating their questioning responsibility to an attorney hired specifically for this purpose.
We just have a few minutes left here, so I want to make sure that I ask you about another major news story.
If I may add, I am going to be asking my own questions. I'm going to be doing my own inquiry, and all of my colleagues on the Democratic side are going to be doing our constitutional duty, which is to ask questions and really advise and consent. I'm surprised that my Republican colleagues are, in effect, delegating their responsibility
to a lawyer.
A lawyer hired specifically for this purpose.
Right. I mean, why do you think that is? What might have caused them to do that?
You'd have to ask them. Mm-hmm. I think there's no good reason to do it. It's very, very rare for an attorney to be asking questions on behalf of members of the Judiciary Committee.
Okay, so just briefly now, so we can get to this other major news story of the week, and that is the status of Deputy Attorney General Rod Rosenstein. There were initial reports yesterday that he was going to be fired or he might resign, and now he is scheduled to meet with the president on Thursday, the same day as these hearings. If he were to be fired, what do you think that would mean for the Russia investigation by Special Counsel Robert Mueller?
Firing Rod Rosenstein would be an obstruction of justice. Plainly and simply, it would threaten the special counsel investigation. It would be tantamount to obstruction, and it would be a break-the-glass moment because our democracy would be literally under attack. The special counsel reports to the deputy attorney general, now Rod Rosenstein, who controls his budget, decisions on indictments, on staffing, on all of the critical issues necessary for the special counsel to do his work. And so Rod Rosenstein's firing would directly imperil that investigation and hopefully would prompt the firestorm that my Republican colleagues have promised. And hopefully they would have the backbone to stand up and speak out.
Now this started with a report Friday that Rod Rosenstein has said that he wanted to secretly tape the president. If those reports are true, and even if he did say it in jest, is that grounds for firing Rosenstein?
No, they are far from grounds for firing Rod Rosenstein. There are no grounds to fire him. He has denied the reports. The president should accept his denial or not, but offhand remarks about the 25th Amendment certainly are no grounds for firing anyone. And make no mistake, if Rod Rosenstein leaves office, it will be because he is, in effect, discharged. He will be resigning under threat of firing. I hope he'll stand up, and my hope is that he will continue to be in that job.
I just want to ask you one more question about Kavanaugh, because we're just getting something from the New York Times reporting that Senator Lisa Murkowski, who's seen as a swing vote, is saying that she will insist that senators take seriously the accusations against Judge Kavanaugh. And she says this is now a question about, not about a judge, but about whether a woman who has been a victim at some point in her life is to be believed. What do you take from those comments, and what do you expect is really going to come out of these hearings? Do you think they're going to go on for a very long time, and what will we walk away with? First off, your reaction to her comments.
I think she is right in her assessment that the issue here involves very serious and credible allegations that should be taken with respect and seriousness. And the credibility of two individuals will be on the line, but so will be the effect on the broader community of survivors. You know, so many of these comments made by the president about how, well, she should have reported it to law enforcement or to her parents if it is as bad as she says, or she was drunk, or one of my colleagues said she was mixed up. They are the classic comments that cause sexual assault survivors to wait for 10, 15, 20 years. You've seen it in the outpouring of stories in my mail, in other senators' mail, in the public arena. It has really been a teaching moment, I think, for America, and I hope that's what this Thursday's hearing will provide or help to further as well.
But those comments from Senator Murkowski, do you think things are starting to, do you read that as a sign that things are starting to change at all?
I read it as a sign of her concern about how important and serious a moment this hearing will be, how important and serious this nomination vote will be, and how she's going to consider it very seriously. I would not presume to know what her vote is going to be, because I think it will depend on what she sees and hears in the next 48 hours and maybe the next hearing, if there is one.
There were some reports this morning that there might be yet a third accuser who might come forward. Have you heard anything about that, Senator?
No.
Okay. Connecticut Senator Richard Blumenthal, member of the Senate Judiciary Committee, which hears testimony from both Christine Blasey Ford and Supreme Court nominee Brett Kavanaugh on Thursday. You can hear much of that testimony live right here on WBUR. Senator Blumenthal, thanks so much for being with us.
Thank you. Take care.
Stay with us. There's more ahead. I'm Deborah Becker, and this is Radio Boston.